Morning for the music team. Big round of applause for the music today. Wow. And to the choir, if you're still in the room, thank you as well. I am so thankful for a song like that. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but Christ in me. Those are wonderful words. Thank you, music team. And do you realize we are in a race? And when that starting gun went bang, we were born. And we're headed to a finish line, the day of our death. Isn't it funny how we like to think about the starting, but we don't like to think about the finish? And today, as we talk and continue our series, we're going to be considering in this series, the middle portion of the race. The middle portion of the race. And by the way, I am beyond the middle of the race, okay? Just in case you're curious. At age 27, add 30 and you got it, okay? I am beyond the middle of this race. I am beyond it. It's kind of like when you're in the middle of this race, this season of life that we're going to call mature adulthood, okay? We're going to call it that. It's the middle. It's kind of like being in the middle of a long, dark tunnel. It's kind of unsettling. You're too far in the tunnel to see the light behind you, but you're not far enough in the tunnel to see the light ahead of you. It's kind of unsettling. And that's this season of life that we're going to consider today in our series, Faithful Through the Ages. And thus far, we've seen two seasons of life. We've seen the children season, which is marked by instability. But thankfully, they are growing stronger. And then we saw the young adult season that's marked by youthful experience, and they are growing independent. Both of those seasons that we've seen thus far need the support system of family, of mature friends, a biblical church, and more than anything else, they need the Word of God and the God of the Word to guide them in this season that they're in. Well, this next season, this midlife season that we're calling mature adulthood, it's also marked by perils and privileges and promises. But in a word, this season of life that I'm in, and some of you too, is characterized by one word, and the word is distraction. It's distraction. And we're left with this takeaway that can be applied by everybody in the room, but especially people in this season of life. And the takeaway is this: instead of distraction, the distraction of self-righteousness, those in this season of life need to focus on the attraction of Jesus and His righteousness. Will you pause and will you close your eyes, because these are thoughts that are deep, but yet they're characteristics of human nature. And we don't want to just think about the characteristics of human nature, but we want to dwell upon You, our God. You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, regardless of the age. Teach us, as Pastor Adam has already prayed, and Psalm 90 prays, Father, will You teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom? Satisfy us this morning with Your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may Your favor rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's talk a minute about the profile of this mature adulthood period of life. Yes, so this is generally speaking anywhere from 30-ish to 60-ish. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're in that season of life for two reasons. One is nobody wants to admit your age. Secondly, you're too tired to raise your hand. Because this season of life is marked by abundance of distractions, like managing a career, maintaining some sort of assets or a home, investing in a family, attempting just to stay active, and a new one for us in this season of life, and that's caring for parents. There's a load of other duties that can distract us during this period, this season of life, that keep us from really focusing in on what's most important. You know, this season of life is the awareness of disappointment. It's kind of like when you become aware when you're on a vacation, a dream vacation. And I'm guessing most in the room have been on some vacation that you were anticipating months in advance. And you thought, I just can't wait to go. I can't wait to go. And you're checking off your calendar, you know, and you're making your list. And you know what you're going to do when you're on vacation. And you're so excited. And then during vacation, the reality begins to settle in that there's only a day or two left of my vacation. That's a miserable awareness at that moment. It's too bad. Pastor Adam has referred to it like this when they are going on vacation. He's referred to it as an exhale, like, but then driving home from vacation, an inhale. You felt that before? And that's kind of like this season of life. You know, it's the awareness of disappointment because there was so much I was planning to do with my life. And all of a sudden you realize that the end of the tunnel is coming and I missed so many opportunities. I've missed so many opportunities. It can be full of disappointments. And that's one of the tendencies of this season of life. It's the tendency of disappointment. But there's other common tendencies of this season of life. Some in this season of life make crazy attempts to go back. And maybe one picture of this is in a movie. Forgive me for mentioning a movie by Steve Martin in 1995 called Daughter of the Bride. It brings, did I say father of the bride, daughter of the bride? The other characteristic of this season of life is you don't get your words right. That's right, yeah. And you need people to come alongside of you and correct you. Father of the bride, he's in this season of life and he marries off his daughter Annie in this movie. And all of a sudden, Annie, she's married and she's all of a sudden pregnant. And the awareness that I'm going to be a grandpa settles in. And he does some really crazy things. He makes a list of people that are older than him so he'll feel better about his own age. And then he dyes his hair, it was white, gray, to brown. And then he decides, I'm going to sell the house that we raised the kids in. All of this was foolish attempts to go back to make life what it was. And that's a tendency of this season of life, is to do something crazy like trying to go back. It doesn't work. There's another tendency, though, in this season of life, and that's mournful self-introspection. You've heard the song by Harry Chapin in 1974. He wrote a song, it's a classic, tear-jerking song. I hope you got a tissue in your pocket because you're going to need it. And the cats and the cradles and the silver spoon, little boy blue and man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. It's that mournful introspection that happens during this season of life. It's the disappointment of a dad, and at least in this song, a dad that he has missed so many timely opportunities with his own son. It's that. And Solomon went through this, and we've referred to Ecclesiastes already in this series, but Solomon came to to this, and he wanted pleasure. He was just looking for something to make him happy. And he was looking for a way to cheer him up, and he tried wine, and he tried seeking wisdom, and he actually built homes for himself, and he planted beautiful vineyards and gardens, and he filled them with fruit trees and reservoirs with water, and he bought slaves, and he had large herds and flocks, and he gathered silver and gold and treasures, and he hired wonderful singers and all of this. And then he realized that all of these attempts only caused him more misery. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "I looked at everything that I had worked so hard to accomplish, and it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere." That's what I'm referring to, the mournful self-introspection that Solomon went through. And it can lead to a self-made midlife crisis. And that's the reality of many in this season of life. There's definitely dangerous tendencies during this season of life, but they all lead to discouragement, or at least they can lead to discouragement. That's the peril of this mature adult years. It's the emotional discouragement that comes realizing that my youthfulness is disappearing. I am getting older. The outward man, as the Bible said, is wasting away. It's the awareness when all of a sudden you realize, I can't outrun my son anymore. Or you're wrestling with the kids and you realize you come away with injuries from wrestling with your own kids. It's the awareness that something is happening to me physically. And by the way, my son turned 18. I took him backpacking. We both had backpacks. And we tried to balance them out, so we were carrying the same amount of weight. About a mile down the trail, I realized I couldn't keep up with him. So we stopped, and I took everything heavy out of my pack, and I put it in his. And then I did a little better keeping up with him. But it's that awareness that youthfulness is disappearing. My six-pack is becoming a two-liter. My youthful figure is fading, and I realize I'm no longer invincible. All of that is rather discouraging. It's emotionally discouraging. This is a peril of this season of life. And then there's the emotional discouragement of increasing weariness, and they tend to go hand in hand, don't they? But maybe you've heard it said that middle-aged people are running the world. They're weary. They're exhausted. They're pushed, and they push themselves to exhaustion. The demands may be never greater than in this season of life upon yourself. Why is that? Well, it's this season of life, the prime of life, when some things have come together, careers, and there's a home, and there's some stability, maybe even financial stability. There's a lot of good things that are happening in this season of life. And therefore, the people in this season just run themselves crazy with their resources that God has given. And it leaves them absolutely exhausted. That's a peril of this season of life, that increasing weariness. Both of these, the disappearing youthfulness, the increasing weariness can lead to an overwhelming hopelessness that comes during this season of life because it's a full steam ahead lifestyle. And suddenly you realize, my kids don't really need me as much as they used to. That can be discouraging. And then comes a sudden awareness that, well, my kids don't need me, but increasingly my parents do need me. This can lead to a downward spiral where one even, maybe not physically, but mentally, they start want to just give up or check out or call it quits. This is all a part of the emotional discouragement that can come with this season of life, and it can lead to a spiritual discouragement too. Well, Paul knew this hopelessness, and you're thinking, can we open our Bibles, please? We've talked about Steve Martin. Now can we open our Bibles? And the answer is yes. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 that Abraham did such a great job of reading. And I want you to see what Paul, the Apostle Paul, was like without Christ. What was he like without Christ? Now, I don't know his age when he did these things, but I got a feeling that he was much like a middle-aged person, like these people in this mature years, adult years. Are you there? Did I say Proverbs or Philippians? Good. You keep me in line, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. It's Paul speaking about his life without Christ. He said, I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. His period without Christ was confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and of the law, a Pharisee, and to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He was doing a lot of things in the flesh. He was confident in the flesh. This was his life before Christ. Before Christ. And I'm afraid that sometimes we're like that in this season of life. We are doing spiritual work without being spirit-filled. We're just doing the things, but we aren't filled with the Spirit. Spiritual discouragement comes at those moments when we make the work our God instead of the God of the work our God. You know what I mean? When we're serving Him, but He's not really personal to us. This is doing spiritual work without being Spirit-filled. And when this happens, when we forget the God that we are actually serving, we begin to live independently without remembering who I am in Christ. It's often the case that during these years that we're talking about, these midlife years, the mature adult years, that we establish some real, what look like really healthy and good religious routines and habits. The problem is they've really just become habits. And duties done without delight, and Christian service can actually become an obligation just because I've done it for years. By the way, one clue, if this is you, might be, when was the last time you really worshiped the Lord? You really got away and focused on Him and Him alone. And if the answer is, well, I can't quite remember when that happened, then possibly you need to step back and ask yourself, have I learned to live independently without remembering who I am in Christ? Am I doing spiritual work without actually being Spirit-filled? That's a clue that there might be a problem. The spiritual perils of this years is believing that I am right with God because of the good things that I do. The dependency upon Jesus and His work for my righteousness are forgotten. Well, this sounds terrible, doesn't it? And those who are in the room who are not there yet, you're not in this season of your life, you're getting really discouraged right now. You're thinking, oh, this is hopeless. Oh, this is bad. Oh, why did I even come to church today? Oh, sounds miserable, doesn't it, so far? But it's not hopeless. Because Philippians 3 doesn't end there. And there are privileges that go with these years of life. And here's one I will mention, the privileges of this season of life. It's a physical endurance and mental alertness that comes to people in this season of life. There's something about endurance, and athletes would know this, that endurance kind of peaks a little later in life. So the sprinters, that peaks early in life, but the ones who are into endurance sports, that peaks a little later, like into the late 20s or even early 30s. And that's why you'll find cyclists and marathoners, sometimes they're in their late 20s and even 30s. That's when it peaks. And so it is true of those in this season of life. Those in this season of life have a little bit more gumption, willing to stick it out when things get tough. There's an endurance that comes with this season of life. And there's a mental alertness. Now, you might not think that because I can't even get my words right, but there is a mental alertness that comes with this season of life. And there's a relational and spiritual stability that comes with this season of life. When you're younger, your attempts are trying to please the people around you and maintain those relationships. But as we get older, we realize, I don't need to worry about that. And there comes a stability with this season of life. The years of experience in walking with Christ help us during this season of life. And as we travel through this tunnel, it's in the midst of the tunnel that we need to remember. We need to remind ourselves that God has been faithful to lead me thus far through this tunnel. And God is faithful. And I know that the promises at the end of this tunnel are sure and certain. And that's where we want to go. We want to end this sermon by talking about the promises and some practical pointers to this season of life. And you can find those in Philippians 3 as well. You see, Paul, realizing his own failed attempts to make him right with God, he came to this conclusion that applies to everyone in the room, but maybe mostly those in this season of life we're talking about. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth, this is greater than anything, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the surpassing worth. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. This is a key. This righteousness from God that depends on faith. In verse 10, oh, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and by all means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see, these promises that Paul is referring to here in these verses only come to those who know Christ Jesus. And it's important for us as we get to this season of life to evaluate and say, have I truly placed my faith in Jesus Christ for my righteousness, or am I trying to do this all in my own strength? That's so important in this season of life. Let's get our relationship with the God of the universe right because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's got to start there. That's a promise to us that he has made. And once you've been made right with God through Jesus Christ, then we're in this process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And Paul wrote about this becoming like Christ in this way, verse 12. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect. No, Paul is good of a man as he was and as great of a preacher, he was not perfect. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The promise is this, that God will complete us. He's doing his work within us. And therefore, we can press on confidently. Not that we've already obtained it, or we've already been made perfect, but we strain forward to what lies ahead, and we press towards the goal. And I can be sure, I can be certain that he will finish the work he has begun in me to make me like the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you find yourself in this middle season, these mature years, having all these doubts and questions, let me assure you that you can confidently know that he will complete the work that he started in you. And press on confidently, knowing that he owns us. God owns us. And therefore, allow him to guide your thinking. And that's what it means in the scriptures here when it says, because Christ Jesus had made me his own, he owns me. And in verse 15 and 16, let those of us who are mature think this way. Here's how we ought to think. This is the way we ought to think. Think this way. And if we would think any other way, God will reveal that to us. See, make time for God in his word each morning. And allow God's Spirit to prompt your thinking with his word throughout the day. And then go to bed at night and rest in his grace, because your relationship with the God of the universe is not based on you, but it's based on him. And you can go to bed at night without regret, because it's all covered under the blood of Jesus. You can rest. That's a promise. God rewards us, and therefore we can rest in his grace. By the way, did you catch that phrase in verse 16? Only let us hold true to what we have already obtained. Hang on to it. Don't give up. This is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And for those in this season of life, here is a practical pointer for us. It comes from Galatians chapter 6 when it says, let us not become, what's the next word? Weary. Don't become weary. Don't become tired in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those, to the family of believers, who belong to the family of believers. Now, I've said much of this today to those in this season of life, the mature adult years. But I realize in this room we have a mix of people. And if you're not in this middle season, you may be headed into it. It's not hopeless. Here's God's promises. And maybe you're living with someone in this season. How can you encourage them? How can you pray for them? Scriptures tell us to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And what we just read is, let us do good to all people. How can you come alongside of them and encourage them? And by the way, one way you might encourage them is just to come alongside of and help them. Maybe the person you're thinking of is so busy, has so many responsibilities, and maybe you can just offer to be a help to them. Do something practical to encourage them. Well, more than anything else, we need to remember that instead of the distraction of self-righteousness, that we need to make Jesus and his righteousness our focus. Oh, that will relieve a lot of the perils that come with this season of life. We need to remember Jesus and his righteousness. As the music team comes, and please do come, music team, and lead us. And I would just ask each of you, can you be like the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words and press on? Press on in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The words of the song that we're getting ready to sing speak of rejoicing in our Redeemer and that he's the greatest treasure, the wellspring of our soul, and I will trust him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. Will you stand? And together, we're going to sing. And during the singing,